name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Friday, December 17th. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show.
People often think like, oh my goodness, I have dementia and now I'm just going to not be able to do anything anymore and lose my independence. And we're trying to show people that it doesn't have to be that way with the right supports.
Since 2017, a team of researchers out of UVic have studied the effects of choir singing on people living with dementia. And what they found has changed the way we think about aging and the brain. So for Good News Friday, we speak with Voices in Motion's lead researcher and founder, Dr. Deborah Sheets, to find out more about the project, how it began, what it means, and what's next. Today's Good News Podcast is brought to you by Community Plus Care. Community Plus caregivers provide personal home care and nursing services with empathy, conscience, and compassion. Services are provided from 1 to 24 hours a day. They can help with everything from companionship through to end-of-life care. Contact your local independent source for home healthcare options at communitypluscare.ca.
Dr. Sheets, thank you for joining the show. This is such a fascinating story, and there's lots I want to ask you about, but perhaps to start us off, could you just walk us through what is Voices in Motion?
Voices in Motion is an intergenerational choir for people living with dementia, their family care partners, and also students. The intergenerational component is really important because there's a lot of stigma around dementia. There's stigma around older adults, ageism, and people often get quite socially isolated when they have dementia. And so Voices in Motion is about creating a caring community where people can have fun, get to know other people who understand their circumstances, and just kind of let go of the fact that they have some memory loss and learn new things.
It's quite a diverse team. It's fascinating that it spans, you know, nursing to psychology to sociology and music, of course. How did you get involved in the project?
Yeah, I was one of the founders who had the idea. My dad had dementia and lived with it for 17 years. And I saw that he had nothing to do. I mean, going to Costco was like the outing for him, which seemed a bit sad. So I started talking with some colleagues at UVic, and they all resonated to the idea. We all like projects that actually make a difference, that aren't just something that has a longer term impact. And we saw that this project really could have a pretty immediate impact. And by aging is interdisciplinary. So bringing together psychological perspectives, looking at the cognitive issues around dementia, looking at the social impacts, and then my area of focus has been intergenerational and also caregiving. We were able to do probably what's been the most rigorous research project in North America at this point.
So there's a research component looking into the effects of choir participation on memory, on stress, on socialization. I'm curious to know what you've found in your research so far.
Yes, well, it's been pretty exciting. Our study is probably the most rigorous study of the impact of a choir on people with dementia and care partners in terms of their well-being, their health, and their quality of life, and their cognition. And what we found is that we can't slow the progression of dementia, of course. I mean, it's going to get worse over time. But what we found is that that rate of decline is about half of what we might otherwise expect. There's also decreased depression among both caregivers, care partners, and the person living with dementia. And there's a lot less caregiver distress. We saw that quite markedly. Caregivers need to have time to go out and have an enjoyable experience with their care recipient, not to just always be taking care of the physical needs and the household chores and things like that. And I think when you're busy being a care partner, sometimes you forget that you need to have that shared experience that's enjoyable. And the research, I think, has really made it clear that people need to have community-based activities like the choir that can help them stay engaged in their community, to give back, to show that it's possible to live well, to live a good life with dementia. It's not the, you know, end of everything that people often think, like, oh my goodness, I have dementia and now I'm just gonna not be able to do anything anymore and lose my independence. And we're trying to show people that it doesn't have to be that way with the right supports.
You know, living with dementia can be an isolating experience, both for those living with it and loved ones as well. This project, what's so great about it is it's the opposite of that. It's communal, it's shared. Could you just speak to the choir aspect, how that factored in and when that became a part of the picture?
Yes, thank you, Martin. The choir has really become a community because of our choir director, Erica Fairberg. She's a professional choir director. She's teaching people new things that they're excited to be learning. People sit in sections, three-part harmonies. There are all kinds of warm-up activities. There's social interactions that happen midway through the choir where people can tell stories about the music or share a little something about themselves. And those are the things that help build community. And she really understands that. When we first involved the high school students in the choirs, we had to actually teach them a little bit about how to communicate with older adults. And, you know, over time, they've come to realize, one of them said to me, you know, they're just like the rest of us. Yeah, they have some memory loss, but they want to have fun. They want to laugh. They want to sing. And, you know, the students will sit near them and talk, and they get to know one another. It reduces ageism. It reduces the stigma of dementia. And the older adults really like the energy that the high school students bring. I think older adults sometimes have some stigma about youth, right? And so it works both ways. And having the concert at the end of the season, the choir season, which is about 12 weeks long, they meet weekly, gives everyone something to prepare for, and people with dementia are treated equally in their contribution. So it really is probably the most uplifting, amazing experience I've been involved in terms of research. You can see the impact it's having on people's lives.
So the singing aspect, I mean, I think most of us would agree that, you know, singing, if you're home alone, you put some music on and you start singing along, but there's the choir element to this, you know, there's a social element to this that is decidedly different from singing by oneself. What is it about choral singing that makes it different from singing alone when it comes to some of the benefits that you're seeing?
Yeah, that's very insightful. What we found is when people sing together, they release more oxytocin, which is called the human cuddle hormone, and it helps people to build bonds between each other, to trust one another. It's the hormone that's released actually when moms have babies. It increases. And when people sing together, their oxytocin levels can increase twice to fourfold as much as when you sing alone. So singing alone may give you that little bump, but singing with other people makes all the difference.
There's also, you were mentioning, a multi-generational aspect to this. What makes that so important?
Mm-hmm. I think the multi-generational or really intergenerational aspect is just this opportunity for older and younger to come together to do something that's meaningful and to gain an appreciation of one another and the support that the younger generation learns to provide. They develop more empathy. They learn how to communicate effectively with older adults because initially sometimes they don't know quite how to interact. And they also, again, have reduced stigma about dementia. They lose a fear of it, I would say. They realize they're just like other people.
And we'll pause here for a quick word from our sponsor. Today's Good News Podcast is brought to you by Doodlebug Pet Food. Do you have a dog with a sensitive tummy or a meat intolerance? Try cricket-based dog treats made by Doodlebug. Their treats are hypoallergenic, nutritious, and sustainable. Order online at doodlebugpetfood.ca.
So I was reading about this group, of course, Voices in Motion, and, you know, you got this group going starting in 2017, begin to build some momentum, and then 2020 hits and everything in person gets shut down. How did this group adapt when things turned online?
Our choirs went online, like they pivoted so fast. And I think that was really uncommon, but there was a sense of community and people were like, we need to get online, whatever it takes. So we had good leadership who figured out how to provide support for Zoom and Facebook. And people started singing together within, I think, a week of being told that we couldn't meet in person anymore. That's made all the difference, I think, because with COVID has really come even more isolation. And we know that when people are isolated, it's worse than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's worse than being sedentary or being overweight. It has impacts on your heart, your health. And I think the choir really helped avert some of that loneliness. People knew that they could see each other, you know, a few times a week to sing and just catch up with one another.
How widespread is this online group now? How far does the membership carry across Canada or North America or beyond?
Well, maybe the silver lining, although we don't know if the impact of the choir online is as great as it is in person, and I suspect it's a little bit less because it's not as gratifying to sing, you know, looking at a Jeopardy board of faces and whatnot, and even harder if you have dementia. But it has allowed families that live across Canada and as far as in France to join in and support family members and kind of see them in a different way, singing songs and participating. So there's many communities, I think, in Canada that don't have capacity perhaps to offer a choir that focuses on dementia per se. But by having an online choir, we can have an impact that's greater than our own community. So I think the online choir is here to stay, even though it's got its limitations. People are pretty happy to be meeting in person again with masks while they sing. And this last Sunday was the first concert that they've had in 2 years. And next Sunday will be another concert. And it's been pretty gratifying and exciting to see people coming out. It's got limited audience space. You do have to make reservations before, but we're getting a good turnout while staying socially distanced.
That's great to hear. I do want to ask about that concert, but I'm curious to know as well, how does somebody get involved? Can anyone get involved in Voices in Motion? Is there, who is it for?
Yeah, anyone can get involved in Voices in Motion, either as a friend who understands what dementia can be like. We've got many members whose spouse perhaps passed and they decided to stay on as a friend or a volunteer to support choir members, and that's been wonderful. But yeah, you can just sign up for the choir. They don't turn anyone away for lack of necessary money to join. But they do charge a fee to join per season. And you can come for free at the beginning of January and give it a try and see if it's right for you and your family member. And I think you'll find it a really welcoming community.
You do have one final concert series on Sunday. Could you just talk about what people might expect if they're able to attend? What will be happening then?
So this Sunday will be the winter concert, and the theme of that winter concert is So Happy Together, and we're going to be enjoying songs that celebrate the gift of community. They'll be singing songs like That's What Friends Are For, Lean On Me, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, and many more. And this concert will be on Sunday, December 19th at 2 o'clock at the Victoria Edelweiss Club, which is at 108 Niagara Street in Victoria. You do have to have proof of vaccination and masks are required. You can find information about the concert on the voicesinmotionchoirs.org website. And you can order tickets in advance through Eventbrite. I think it's $15 a ticket. So hope to see your listeners out there because it's a great concert. I went this last week and just lots of good feelings.
Fantastic. You were mentioning earlier in our conversation before we began recording about this is just being the beginning of other initiatives related to dementia in Victoria. Could you speak to what else you're involved in?
Yeah, thank you, Martin. I see Voices in Motion as one program within many that are needed. When Voices in Motion was first started, there really weren't any programs like this to engage people with dementia and care partners in the community. There's educational support programs, there's adult daycare, but there was nothing where you could just go socialize, have fun, do something meaningful. So Voices in Motion was the first program of that sort. There's also a program the Alzheimer's Society has run called Minds in Motion, which is a fitness program. And I've started a memory cafe, which has built on Voices in Motion, and it's about arts and engagement in the arts by people with dementia and their family care partners, and it's intergenerational as well. I see all of this falling under this initiative I call Momentia Victoria, which is really about creating a one-stop website where people can look at a calendar and see what's available, what's fun, what they want to do, and pulling together a number of organizations in our community that would be willing to offer an arts program or a museum tour. For example, the Memory Cafe that I've led for a year now went to the Bateman Gallery and they gave us a personal tour and had a wonderful art creation activity that our participants engaged in. And the Royal BC Museum similarly offered a program this past Saturday for participants, and they just loved getting together and doing something interesting and having a way to meet other people. So hope to keep all of those programs coming, and they'll be on a website that's going to be launched in January called MomentiaVictoria.org. And it'll be one stop where you can see the choir, the fitness programs, the memory cafe, and lots of other things that are happening.
Dr. Sheets, thank you so much for your time. A pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Martin.
If you want to follow along and see what's next for the choir group, Dr. Sheets has been working on a podcast series telling the story of the choir members in their own voice. It's titled The Call to Mind Podcast. You can keep an eye out for that in late January. And if you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a rating and a review, and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamport. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.